You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
One of the great things about New York is that you can sometimes find a remarkable show being performed in a small off-Broadway theater. And Hand to God, currently at the Ensemble Studio Theater on West 52nd Street and 11th Avenue, is certainly one of those. Imagine Avenue Q meets The Exorcist, or a production of Carrie starring Miss Piggy. Hand to God is running until December 18th, and joining me now are playwright Robert Askins, Stephen Boyer, who plays both lovable Jason and his puppet alter ego, the evil Tyrone, and Geneva Carr, who plays Jason's mother, a Sunday school teacher named Marjorie. And I'm very pleased to welcome you all to our show.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
I want to address what may be a painful issue right away. This is a wonderful ensemble piece. Every actor is terrific in it, and I mean that sincerely. But is there any resentment among the cast that Tyrone has become the breakout star of the production?
Oh, my God. A little bit. People don't want to see us. They want to see Tyrone. You know, he hangs out in the dressing room, and he asks for a lot of booze to be delivered.
He has his own personal assistant.
His own masseuse.
Yes.
And a lot of the times he thinks that personal assistant is me. You know?
Yeah. You, the playwright?
Yeah. He asks for, you know, chocolate-covered almonds with the almonds removed. What is that?
I don't know.
Your publicity agent sent out an email listing Tyrone among the interviewees. And my producer nervously emailed back that we didn't have room for another person in the studio. She didn't realize that offstage Tyrone is really a sock with eyes attached.
But he's a very good-looking sock.
Uh-huh. And he's
thank
here.
You. Thank you very much.
Now, had you...
You're not so bad-looking yourself.
Thanks,
Stephen,
Tyrone.
Had you done much puppetry before you were cast in this play?
I'd done some puppetry a couple years ago in a show called Jolly Ship, The Whiz Bang by Nick Jones. I had to learn to do puppets for that, and it just kind of translated into this.
You know, if you find you have a whole career in puppetry, or you could wind up on Sesame Street.
Who knows? Tyrone could follow me the rest of my life. I have no idea.
If we're lucky.
Yeah, you might be following Tyrone, though. Let's
exactly.
Just be clear about that. Well, the play,
like, there will be other people playing Tyrone in the future.
The play begins with a little soliloquy by Tyrone about the origin of the devil. Mm-hmm. What does he say?
Rob, why don't you take that question?
I will absolutely
take
that
question. That's the person who wrote, put those words in Tyrone's mouth.
Sure. Well, a lot of it was trying to make funny and accessible some of the ideas of how we, as human beings, deal with behaviors that are good for us but bad for the group, right? And it's the compartmentalization of our behaviors that create good and evil. We still have to do them, but we cannot own them or celebrate them. So violence and, you know, certain kinds of sexuality, while long-term good for one, may not be good for all.
So is Tyrone's point that although civilization demands the repression of some normal impulses, sometimes we go too far by demonizing these unpleasant but all too human traits?
I think what Tyrone is saying is that...
You're not sure? You did right.
No. I'm absolutely sure Tyrone just... Man, will he talk when I let him.
Why don't you put more words in my mouth, Askins?
Listen here, I will not have that on radio. So what we're talking about is the devil as a release valve or gasket.
He externalizes evil.
Exactly. We do need to repress these antisocial impulses. But if you impress it too much, it blows up. So you get the devil making me do it, which allows you to have catharsis through the negative. Which is my favorite nickname for Tyrone, catharsis through the negative.
Many of your plays take place in Texas. Did you grow up there?
Absolutely. Cypress, Texas, hour outside of Houston.
But that's East Texas. That's really the South, whereas West Texas is the Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think outside of religion, sex, and immigrants slipping over the border, there's a large tolerance for eccentricity in Texas?
That's why I'm here. There's not a bit.
There's not a bit?
There's not a lot of toleration. So I had to find my way up here. I mean, from Northwest Houston, I went to Waco. And Waco is a very interesting place, both in Texas and the world.
Well, Waco right now only means one thing to most people.
Absolutely. Mm. You call them heretics, we call them barbecue. I'm sorry. Oh, that's inappropriate. I know. It's not good. It's a Waco joke.
I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, well. But, yeah, and Waco is even more divided because you have a very, very hardcore religious. But Baylor is the largest Baptist organization in the world, and it divides the town into those that are and those that aren't.
Baylor.
Yes, sir.
The university.
The university.
Well, am I wrong in thinking that religion and church membership plays a more central role for people in some parts of the country than in others?
I mean, it's the essential organizing social body in a lot of places, as opposed to something like, you know, people fill that hole in a lot of ways other places, but it is where you might meet your wife, where you might get together with your friends. It's the glue that knits things together.
Geneva, where do you come from?
Well, I was born in Jackson, Mississippi, but I lived in 11 states, and I lived in France for a long time, so I'm a New Yorker now.
Well, but Jackson, Mississippi would be a perfect example of what we've been talking about.
Well, I was raised in the Deep South, but by parents who are from the Midwest, and my mother was Polish. So I have a lot of that in my background, certainly the accent when I need it. But I don't consider myself a Southerner, ironically, even though I spent most of my life there.
Geneva, your character has lost her husband.
Mm-hmm. Marjorie has lost her husband, and Jason has lost his
father. Who is Jason's father? Mm-hmm. And that's not long before the play begins. How does that influence what happens?
Well, actually, what happens is that Marjorie and her son are trying to heal and to grieve, and what they end up doing is turning to the church. And because Marjorie is not a skilled preacher and can't carry a tune and sing in the choir, and her brownies taste like old tires, she ends up starting a Christian puppet ministry, which we thought Rob made up, but apparently is very popular in Texas, which is where Tyrone comes in, because Marjorie isn't skilled, but she sees that her son is very good with his sock puppet. And that's how things go haywire.
Were you aware of, Stephen, of
Christian puppet ministry?
Puppet ministry. Hard for me to say.
I actually was. There was a bit of it in Ohio. I don't think it's as prevalent as it is in Texas, but I did know that it existed.
Now, how does that work? Is it kind of like Punch and Judy with religious themes?
No. It's very sort of base level didactic religious drama. So it's two camels discussing the star in the sky over the town of Bethlehem, right? And it's
David and Goliath.
Yeah,
Sesame Street style.
All of that stuff.
So you can do this with a very small cast.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't need animals.
Absolutely.
Real animals.
You get some PVC pipe, and you get a little bit of little fabric and puppets.
But are they like passion plays?
No, you tend to stay away from actually putting a Jesus puppet on.
Your mother started a puppet ministry when you were 13, didn't she?
That's absolutely correct. I think it was... Yeah, 13. Yeah, it's about that time.
So this is something that's a major part of your heritage.
But
you're making fun of it.
I'm not. I'm trying to love it from a distance. And that's very difficult because it is one of the big steps in my writing is understanding my life not as a sad thing but as a funny thing that I love. The last play I wrote, Princes of Waco, is much darker. And there's no light in it, and it's very violent. But this one, it's like all of these wild things in my life, Christian puppet ministry, Waco. I used to preach for a short period of time. Like all of these things are gorgeous and strange, and it's about understanding them within this world, not in opposition to this world.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that because I have a lot of friends because I went to high school in Atlanta, and a lot of my friends came up to see the show, and they're very religious, and it's not offensive. It is funny, and it's poking fun, but it's laughing with people, not at people.
This is also about something that actors are very aware of, and that is being able to say something through a character.
Mm.
In this case, Jason is able to say things through Tyrone, his sock puppet, that he wouldn't say by himself.
Well, there's a question as to whether or not Jason is saying things through Tyrone or whether Tyrone is his own entity that is using Jason as a vehicle.
So Tyrone is the controller there.
At points, yes.
How do you act that?
Very well.
In the end, you're suggesting that this thing that's on your hand is really
the
thing with the brain.
Yeah, they are two separate people. They fight, they argue, they make up, they have jokes together.
They do a who's on first routine.
They do a who's on first routine. They want to walk the different parts of the room. They want, you know, Jason will be talking to someone and Tyrone will be talking to someone else on stage. Like, they cut each other off. They would talk at the same time if they could, but unfortunately I only have one voice box.
And we're working on that.
Well, you know, there is a precedent for puppets releasing hidden thoughts and emotions. Child psychologists often use puppets therapeutically to help their underage clientele express themselves. What do you think it is about puppets that allow for that kind of release?
When we talk about the theatrical experience, one of the things we have to talk about is the division between what we know as human beings and what we see as animals, right? So Tyrone's got a pair of eyes. And if you watch Tyrone look at something, you follow what he's looking at. In your mind, you know it is a man with a puppet on his hand. But your body experiencing it as an animal is like, what is this thing with agency? What is this thing with its own inner life, right? And I think that allows us to project onto the other thing. It allows for us to, you know, be free in a lot of ways from what we have.
Are you exhausted by the end of the night, Geneva and Stephen?
I am, but I don't know how you're standing.
I am exhausted by the end of the night. Yeah, I'm exhausted halfway through the night. I come off stage at intermission, and my left arm is cramped, and my voice is extremely tired. So by the end of the night, I am done. But I am so wired that it's coming down from that adrenaline rush is tough.
You actually have a choreographer, a fight choreographer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's amazing. Robert Wesley.
Robert Wesley. Man.
He did a fantastic job because there are several graphic, intimate fights, I should say, on
well,
stage.
Well, there are sex scenes.
Right. That's what I meant. Yeah. You're good. You're good, Leonard. That's what I meant. And
I'm very good with
I'm
the
exhausted.
Sex scenes. Wow. Just came right out.
You're so clever.
The poetic side.
So I'm spent, I will say. I'm happy, but spent. I don't know how Tyrone is doing it, because Tyrone has a sex scene that is so graphic.
Yeah, I'm pretty spent, too, by the end of that thing. Come see it. You'll know what I mean. We do it twice on Saturdays.
Are you still doing all the Little Fishes, Robert?
I absolutely am. That's I do a puppet brunch food cereal.
At a Greek restaurant?
At the restaurant that I work at, Calari Taverna on 44th between 5th and 6th.
Well, how did this production happen? Did you first of all, you had to find your cast.
Well,
everything but the sock puppet, I'm sure.
No.
To audition.
No, absolutely not. One of the great things about EST, that's where the play is going on, Ensemble Studio Theater, is that it is an ensemble. So I have been watching these two, Steve and Geneva, and Scott Sowers, who's also in the play, and Bobby
Megan
Moreno.
Hill, Bobby Megan Moreno. Hill. We're actually everybody in the cast, director, writer, all the actors are all members of the theater, actually as of yesterday, because Megan Hill is our newest member. But we've all been members of the theater for a while, and they develop work there. So Rob actually has been writing with us in mind and developing this play, and we've done several readings over the past year and a half,
Absolutely. Watching Stephen Geneva on – there's a thing that Youngblood does called the brunch, so you get there at 11 or 1 and you get pancakes and eggs and a cocktail. But you,
or two.
Yeah, or two. But you watch these actors over – let's say there's 6 of these in the year, and there's 4 one-acts in each one of them. Watching them work in a variety of roles gives you a sense of what they can do on stage and how best to use them in a play.
So does this mean that after this play closes on December 18th, you'll do another EST production?
Well, first we're hoping that we go beyond December 18th, in all honesty. But absolutely, the great thing about Ensemble Studio Theater is that they're continually developing new plays. There are several shows a month. Everybody gets work. It's an amazing place with up-and-coming writers. And a lot of the writers that are working off-Broadway now at other theaters developed their work originally at Ensemble Studio Theater.
And the cast includes Megan Hill, Bobby Moreno, Scott Sowers, and two of my guests, Stephen Boyer and Geneva Carr. The play is written by Robert Askins. It's called Hand to God, and it's at the Ensemble Studio Theater on 11th Street and 52nd Street on the
and
corner.
11th Avenue.
And 11th Avenue, what right. am I saying? You can't be on 52nd Street and 11th Street, right?
Hey, yo, 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 I'm in it too, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
I'm sorry, Tyrone. Are you a member of the EST, Tyrone?
No, I'm not. He found me. I was doing Lear up in Stratford, and I just got fired for harassing the makeup girl. And he was like, hey, you want to come do Hand to God? I'm like, sure. I got nothing going on now.
You could always run for president.
Yeah, no problem. I'm down with that.
If people want, listeners want information about tickets, they can go to our show page at WNYC.org. My great thanks to Robert Askins, Stephen Boyer, and Geneva Carr for being on our show today.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.